Our sermon for April 3rd, 2026, Good Friday, is based on Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, and chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. And the theme of our sermon is, Who Do You Trust Tonight? From Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, who has gone through the heavens, namely Jesus, the Son of God, let us continue to hold on to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh he offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. After he was brought to his goal, he became the source of eternal salvation for everyone who obeys him, because he was designated by God as a high priest like Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. Do we have to talk about sin too much on a night like tonight? You've walked this Lenten path with your Savior to the cross. You've been shown your sin at every turn. And tonight you watch your Savior writhe in pain, crushed under the weight of your iniquities. Do we have to talk about sin too much on a night like tonight? We gather here because our battle against temptation has not gone well. Each of us fails every hour of every day. Even on our best days, even when we think that we've done pretty well, sin slips in, sometimes without our even noticing. And the greatest temptation we face is the temptation to ignorance, to pretending that we're doing a great job and deserving of an attaboy from God. But neither our conscience nor the Word of God tell us that. They tell us we're broken. They tell us there's something in between us and God, a roadblock we have placed. That's why we need someone to step in. In the Old Testament, that was the priest's job. He wasn't just a leader. He served as a bridge between God and man. He stood in the gap between a holy God and a rebellious people. He made sacrifices on the people's behalf, interceding to the Father on their behalf. But there was the priest of priests, the high priest. He wore a breastplate with all 12 tribes of Israel carved into its stones. So when he went to the tabernacle to sacrifice for the people of Israel, he carried their names with him. He was one of them, a mere man, but he was also set apart by God. As we look at what the priests of Israel did for the people, and especially what the high priest did, we recognize that we need someone to do the same for us. We need someone to stand in that gap and mend the relationship with God that we have ruined. We need someone to intercede for us, carrying our names upon his chest into the most holy place of God. And that brings us to tonight, to our text from Hebrews 4 and 5. Jesus is not some outsider observing our pain. He doesn't know about it because he's studied it in a lab. He knows it because he's felt it. We think we know temptation because we feel its pull. But Jesus knows it even better than we do, because he never gave any ground. He never allowed a lesser vice to take hold so that he could escape the greater one. You say no one knows how you feel. But Jesus does. Better than even you do. As true man, he is God in the flesh who entered his creation completely. Just listen to what the writer of the Hebrews says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus knows the weight of temptation because he has felt the fullness of that weight and what it means to be human in this broken world. And because he understands our situation personally as the God-man, he is the only one who is qualified to mend what we broke. Listen to those last few words that we read. Yet was without sin. This is where Jesus differs from us. And the reason he can be our high priest in a way that none of the Old Testament high priests of Israel could. Jesus could perfectly obey the law of God. He could overcome temptation, not giving even an inch. And he did. He lived the perfect life that we could not, even on our best days. Do not take this for granted. It is easy to treat Jesus' perfect life with little amazement. We say, he was true God, wasn't he? But understand what obedience to God's commands brings. It brings the scorn of those who just want you to go along, to get along, to bend here or there, to make things easier. It brings having to say difficult things to those who don't want to hear them instead of quietly nodding along. It means sacrificing for others instead of yourself, letting your schedule and your emotional battery be dictated by the needs of those around you, even your enemies. Jesus didn't just keep from blurting out crass language. He didn't just keep from stealing or murdering. He kept from lusting. He kept from hating. He kept from ever seeing anyone else as anything less than souls in need of a shepherd and dearly loved by God. His obedience to his Father's will did not come easy. It was a deliberate, agonizing choice that he made every second of his life. Tonight we see the completion of his work. Not only did he live without sin, he took that perfect life and gave it up. Our high priest didn't just slaughter the lamb, he became the lamb. He took the punishment for every sin ever committed upon his own body. He allowed himself to suffer hell and die for the sins of the world, that same world that drove the spikes into his hands and feet. Yes, Good Friday worship is darker and more somber than normal. Our inability to fight temptation and our need for a Savior make it so. But by finishing this work, by giving up his life, he becomes the source of our eternal life. This is why we join on this somber night. It shows the weight of our sins. And because it shows the weight of our sins, it also shows the weight of Jesus' sacrifice. Because we have a high priest who has sacrificed his perfect life in our place, God's throne of judgment has instead become the throne of grace. We don't approach God as defendants in a courtroom, but as children approaching their father. We have confidence because our high priest has bridged the chasm of sin we had built, interceding on our behalf with the Father through his meritorious blood. You do not need to be afraid of God. You do not need to hide from him. Your sins have been crucified with Christ. Your debt has been paid. You can live freely because Jesus has set you free. You can trust him when he tells you your battle against sin, death, and hell is finished. Look to the cross of Christ and see what you so desperately needed, but never could produce. This is good news. This is such good news that it causes a spring of faith to bubble up inside of us, erupting with all the power of Old Faithful. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, namely Jesus, the Son of God, let us continue to hold on to our confession. We hold firmly to the truth that this sacrifice did the trick, that our fight against the forces of hell is over. Our high priest has won. But this confession that Christ died for us isn't only for this room. We confess it boldly to a world that is trying to mend the wound mankind cannot heal or has completely despaired. Our high priest has passed through the heavens. He has done the work we needed. The throne of grace is ours. So do we have to talk about sin too much on a night like tonight? Of course we do. But we have so much more to say about God's grace. We have God himself as our high priest, who took on flesh so that he could fight the battle that we could not. No more guilt, no more pain, no more fear. Why? Because we've stopped trusting in ourselves and instead find our peace in Jesus. Amen.